Sentire Media.
Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of A New Life in Italy. I'm your host, Samantha Wilson, and today we're starting from the beginning. And that is how to actually plan your move to Italy from the start. Now, we get countless emails from people from all over the world with just a few lines that say, "Hey, Samantha, can you help me move to Italy?" And our answer is usually, maybe. It really depends. Because there's so many things that you need to consider first. So today I am going to go through these stages of planning your move to Italy and put them in the right order and the right steps so that you can decide where you are in the process and what you need to do next. Plus, I'm going to clarify the timeline of how long every stage should take you and finally address some of the common mistakes and the problems that people face when planning their move to Italy. So if you're planning to move or just in the wondering if I should stage, this episode is for you. Are you ready? Let's get started. I'm Samantha Wilson, Chief Dreammaker at SmartMoveItaly.com, and this is A New Life in Italy, a show where each week I take you behind the scenes of what it's really like to move to Italy, introduce you to some fascinating people, answer your questions, and show you how starting a new life in Bel Paese is possible for you. So you want to move to Italy, or at least you're thinking about it. Well, that's all good, because I can tell you that living in Italy is probably all that you think it is, and maybe a little bit more. Moving to Italy is, however, a very complex process, and it's no secret that there are a lot of bureaucratic hoops to jump through, and many of the things that can go wrong along the way often do. But what I have come to learn after making the move myself, and also helping thousands of people do it themselves, is this. When you take the time to start from the right place and you understand what you need to do and in what order, then the stress will be reduced and all of your chances of success will skyrocket. Because moving to Italy is a multi-staged process and everyone's situation is completely different. Their motivation, their goals, their expectations, and even their dreams are unique to them. Some people are pulled to Italy. They like the idea of reconnecting maybe with their ancestors or with their past experiences traveling here. Maybe they have a new job or maybe a new love. Maybe they want to move to Italy to be with somebody they met. And others are pushed from where they are now. Sometimes this is out of frustration of their current situation. So this could be the cost of living, maybe the political stress, or even just the fear for their own safety. But regardless of whether you are being pushed or pulled to Italy, the one thing that everyone has in common is this, that you are all seeking change, some kind of change. And moving to Italy is a good way to achieve that. But to start, we need to lay the first brick in the foundation. So we're building this process. We're building this wall so that you can climb over the bureaucracy. And it's better if we can determine what stage you're in at the beginning so that you can make this move in order. Now, there's five stages to consider, and they are learning, evaluating, applying, arriving, and settling in. But today, I'm only going to talk about the first three, and that's learning, evaluating, and applying. And this will get you here, and it'll get you prepared for the final two steps, which is arriving and settling in. And it's vital that you pick the right stage that you're in so that you can better prepare for the next step of the process. Moving to Italy is a very long process, and I'd love to tell you that it can be done very quickly, because if you're like me, probably patience isn't maybe your best attribute. And I've come to accept that the time it takes to move to Italy and all of the delays that often come with it is nature's way of preparing you for the very long waits and the very slow pace, well, of pretty much everything in Italy. And it's taken me years to accept this Italian way of life, this pace of things. And at times, I'm still resisting it and still find myself getting frustrated or even disappointed. And sometimes I might even end up blaming the other person or thinking, you know, it's just poor service or this can't possibly be the way it is. And sometimes that's true, but more times than not, it's just the Italian way. So to start with, the slow process of moving to Italy is, well, just Italy. And you'll probably hear me say that a lot. It's just Italy, so get used to it. That is one of the first things you have to accept. That and the absence of any sense whatsoever are the two things that you'll have to accept at the beginning of this process. The reason that we need to decide on what stage you're in now is so that you can be sure to cover everything that you need to be prepared. Now, this doesn't have to be a long and difficult process, but if you're like, I don't know, 99% of the people that I meet and the ones that call us to help them move to Italy, you are probably not in the right stage to begin with, or that you think you are. And that's okay. That's understandable because you just don't know what you don't know. For example, how can you anticipate and plan your move and set up your life here in Italy if you don't have a clear idea of the roadblocks and the procedures and the steps and the processes that you have to follow? The decisions that you make early can and will have a huge impact on the success of your applications, whether it's a visa or residency. Your early decisions can affect the amount of tax that you pay now or into the future and the benefits that are available if you become a resident. If you just jump past the first two stages and go right to applying for a visa, for example, and you know, this might mean that you already have your property and you have everything else you think in order, but you haven't done the pre-work to learn where the best place is to live, maybe based on tax incentives, for example, you can end up spending double what you would if you started back in stage one. So as we go through these stages, I want you to think more critically about each of them and try to put yourself in the right stage from the beginning. And don't worry, I'm going to help you pick which one is best for you. Now let's start with stage one, which I call the dreaming or the learning stage. And in this stage, you maybe have visited Italy a few times, maybe only a little bit, like maybe once. We have people who've wanted to move here after just one visit because, you know, it's intoxicating. Or maybe you have ancestors who are Italian or have been consuming everything you can about living in Italy or the Italian way of life. Some of your friends might even actually think you're a little bit obsessed. Is that like ring a bell or not? So if you have it in your mind that you want to live in Italy, but you're not sure if it's possible, this is the stage that you're in. So now is when you start consuming everything you can. Sometimes maybe a little too much, but you start consuming everything. So you're reading blogs, joining groups and forums. You're talking to people, you know, watching videos, YouTube, reading books, listening to podcasts. You know, there's a ton of information out there about life in Italy and moving to Italy. Some of it's correct and some of it not so correct. And the misinformation can be quite confusing. Now, here's a tip to help you weed out the good information from the bad. Number one, do you know anyone who has lived in Italy? If you do, and if you have access to them, start talking to them. Ask them the real question. What's it really like? What is the good? What is the bad? Get them to be honest with you. Number two, do you look for information that isn't sales related? So the information that you're consuming, is it coming from somebody who like writes a travel blog, but also sells travel tours? Or is it from a site that's just there to help you, more practical? Think about where you're getting the sources from. Use Google and put in how to move to Italy or how to buy a house in Italy or how to something in Italy. And you'll see what people, a lot of people are asking for. And number three, do you see conflicting information and advice over common questions? And I know you see this because there is a lot of misinformation online. Now, if you see these things and you notice them often, write down that question because obviously you need to go back and get the real answer or the answer you're most comfortable with. You need to practice your critical thinking skills as you begin to do more research and learn about what it takes to move to Italy. And number four, what is someone's motivation to tell you whatever it is that you're reading? So think critically about it. Is there something in the end, like they're trying to sell you a property or a tour that they want to promote? Is this the reason that they're saying what they're saying when you're reading it? So always think critically, just like we used to tell our kids when the internet first came about, is we'd say, think critically about everything you see and everything you read and ask yourself, where is it coming from? What is the source? And then from then, you can decide if it's advice that you should follow or not. Now, in this stage, you will be absorbing a lot of information and you will need to start to see the fake from the facts. And my suggestion isn't just to seek out the dreamy stuff. Listen to the good and listen to the bad and consider the context and the source of the information. If you do all of this online, the only way to get a mix of opinions is to search for them. And if you all watch and read and listen to everything that is only dreamy, you will never see the contrary, because that's, you know, how algorithms work. If you Google the same thing and you surround yourself with the same mindset, that's all you're going to see. So think about that when you're searching things. Change up your Google searches a little bit. Instead of Google, what's the most beautiful place to live in Italy? Google, what's the worst place to live in Italy? Or Google things like, what's the hardest part about living in Italy as a foreigner? Things like this, where it's going to change up your algorithm and give you some other information that you might not already see. So once you've decided that you have learned all of this information, at the end of the day, you're going to have to decide, hey, listen, is Italy really for me or not? Is it a place that I want to live full time or just visit on occasion? And if it's the place that you want to move full time, then you're moving into stage number two, which is evaluating. In this stage, you have made that decision that you seriously want to move to Italy. You may have all the internal and external forces driving you in this decision, like your push and the pull, but the decision to move is concrete in your mind. You may be still unsure of what steps you need to take and how to do them, of course, but you're serious about the move itself. You've gone from dreaming to action now, so you're in the evaluating stage. You have to evaluate your personal situation so that you can plan your journey towards a new life in Italy. So let me ask you this. What was the turning point after, when you're in the first stage, after you started the learning process, what was the turning point that made you decide, yes, I am going to move to Italy? What was the one thing, or maybe it was several things? So think about it. What was it that tipped the scales to make you think, I think this is the place for me? Was it a push from moving away from where you are, or was it a pull to move you towards something here? And how long did you spend in the learning stage? Has moving been a lifelong dream, or is it a fairly new idea? These are all questions I'm really curious to your answers, but also you should be asking yourself. Because in this phase, you will need to redirect your attention back to you and your situation. Where in stage one, in the learning stage, you're focusing on what other people are telling you, what other people's experiences are, and you're learning from them. You're learning from the outside. In the evaluation stage, you are turning it into you, because this stage now is all about you. You need to evaluate your financial, your emotional, and your physical health. It doesn't matter what you saw online. It doesn't matter whose video you watched that is living the dream life. This is all about you. And often this evaluation will expose some of your vulnerabilities or maybe some of your fears, and you will need to address these things. Now, sometimes this is a financial plan to meet the requirements of your visa, like you have to fix something in there, or maybe it's a health condition that will require you to move to a specific part of Italy where care can be better and specialists are located. But when you start focusing on yourself, all of these things in the evaluation stage start to come clear. In the evaluation phase, you will tell yourself when you can move, so your timeline starts to become clearer. You start to see your strengths and your weaknesses, and then you have to learn how to fix them, how to address those weaknesses so that you can move forward, not just with clarity, but with confidence. And it will also help direct you on where you need to move, like what location, based on your needs rather than your emotions. Now, the first place you always need to start when you have made the decision to move to Italy is immigration. Because nothing else matters if you can't get here. If you can't get here legally, all of the other stuff doesn't even matter. So how are you going to move to Italy? Are you Italian? Do you have Italian dual citizenship? Are you European, which means that you have the freedom of movement, you can come and live in Italy without a visa? Or do you need a visa? And if you need a visa, which one? Which visa fits you best, if any? Because again, nothing matters if you can't get here in the first place. So this is the first thing you need to think about. And from your visa, you will then be able to plan the next steps, because it's your visa or your path of immigration that will dictate the time frame for your move. Now, whether you need a place to live first or what other qualifications you need and the time it takes to get them. So the next stage in the process is always applying. And that is stage three. Now, in this stage, you have worked through your personal situation. So you've learned everything first. You've gone to the evaluation, worked through your personal situation, and have evaluated the pros and the cons, and have decided that moving to Italy still is the right choice for you. You've identified the immigration path. You've chosen the visa, or you're going the citizenship route, and now you need to prepare for that application. This is one of the most risky stages and probably the most stressful too, because all of your plans, all of your dreams, all of the things that you've put together in stage one and two, and if you require a visa, you have to apply and succeed the first time, or you can risk the denial, and this can prevent you from moving altogether. So let's talk about the visas for a second here. The main visas that people look for if you're not an Italian citizen, married to an Italian citizen, or a European citizen, or married to a European citizen, you need a visa. And it's going to be one of these. It's going to be either the elective residency visa, which is typically for retired people. I mean, you don't have to be retired, but you can't work, so you need passive income. The second one is a student visa, which requires you to be enrolled in a course, in a program in Italy. And the student visa isn't often a way for people to first come to Italy, but there's a time limit on it. Once your course ends, so does your visa or your permesso to stay. The next way is the investor visa, which is, we call it the golden visa because it's the most flexible and, in my opinion, the best visa. If you can afford a visa, this is the best one to get. There's the self-employment visa, which is very challenging to get. This is for freelancers who want to work in Italy and meet the quotas to do that. And then, of course, the brand new digital nomad visa, which we're still learning about and still waiting to see how this plays out. But it looks like this might be the ticket in for a lot more people than before. Now, if you want to see all of the different visas, just check in the show notes because we have a link for a free guide book, a visa guidebook that can help you choose which one of these visas is best for you. Now, applying for a visa doesn't mean that you will get the visa. This is really important. Just because you meet the eligibility doesn't mean you're going to get it, which is, I know, the most frustrating part, but there is a lot of discretion and it's ultimately up to the consulate to approve or reject your application. And then also the waiting times for a visa can be 90 days or more, sometimes 120 days for a self-employment visa. So the stress is really high in this stage, the application stage. It's really high. The stakes are really high. And the best advice I can give you is just not to sell everything and pack up before you have your visa, or at least have a plan B if you're going to sell your house and pack everything anyway. Visas for Italy are really difficult to get and they're discretionary, so it's never 100%. Now, if you're eligible for Italian citizenship or even EU citizenship, so let's say you have EU citizenship and you can get a German passport or an Irish passport or a French or something else, you can use that to help you get into Italy in lieu of a visa. Now, if you have either one of these things, then you can consider your moving and your time frame to be just a little bit longer sometimes because it can take a lot of years to be recognized as an Italian citizen. And depending on the EU country you're applying for, it can also take a long time to get that passport. So the bonuses, if you are Italian or European and you're married, like I said before, then your spouse doesn't need a visa. So really, you just need this, one of you need this other pathway of citizenship. And take your time with the application. Pick an arrival date and work towards that date. It's okay if it has to change, but pick a date early. So then at least you have something concrete to work towards. This is something that we tell all of our clients. Think in the future, pick a date, not a month, not a year, but an actual date on a calendar in a month, in a year. Circle it, put it on your phone, tell your friends. That's the date you're working towards. And it feels really good when you end up in Italy and you are on either side of that date and just a few days off, or maybe even you hit that mark. We have lots of clients who ended up doing that, and it really feels amazing to have, you know, worked so hard going through all of these stages to have a target and hit it at the end. So I really highly recommend that you do that. Even do that now after you finish listening to this podcast. Now, let's cover off timing. How long should things take and when should you start planning? Your learning stage, the first stage, is unlimited. So use this time as you like. Take as much time as you possibly want to learn as much as you can. Just be very careful of over analyzing. So there's a phrase, it's called paralysis through analysis. If you spend too much time digging and digging and digging, you never will move forward. You'll just keep going in a circle. So be really careful with this, but use your time wisely and don't give yourself a time limit, because you are learning and you're trying to understand if Italy really is the place for you. For some people, that might mean taking a few trips to Italy, you know, traveling around, spending more quality time in one area rather than just jumping around to all the major tourist sites, but actually trying to feel what it's like to spend an extended period of time in Italy before you actually make the move. This is always a really good idea. But there's no time limit in the learning stage. And once you feel that you've moved past that learning stage and you're going into the evaluation stage, then we can start to seriously plan. First, we're going to look at from 6 to 12 months before this anticipated arrival date that you picked. In this time, between 6 to 12 months, you should start planning the route. So planning your visa. If you've already got citizenship, it's going to take a lot longer if you haven't got it yet. But if you already have your passport, 6 to 12 months is when you're going to start looking at the larger picture, when you might need to start adjusting your income if you're going for a certain kind of a visa, or maybe you might need to wait for your pension to kick in or get a job that allows you to work remotely. So from 6 to 12 months, you're going to look at the bigger things that you need more time to complete. You'll also need to seriously consider where you want to live in this stage. And this will depend on your needs. Do you need a lot of services? Do you have health issues that you need to be close to a certain hospital? What are your lifestyle choices? Do you prefer the city, the country, the sea, the mountains? You know, Italy has it all. So you have a lot of choices. Often people choose a place that they're familiar with from vacation or from family. So think wisely about this, and also think about your budget, because in Italy, of course, things change depending on how much money you have to spend. The south is typically more affordable than the north. That's just the way it works. In almost all cases, you need a place to live in Italy before you apply for a visa or before you arrive in Italy. So this is something you'll also have to plan around this 6 to 12 month mark, especially if you're considering buying a property, because it can take many, many months to find a house and then also complete the process, the deed. And you'll need the deed in order to apply for a visa. Just an accepted proposal won't work. And if you're renting, though, you should maybe wait around 3 months before your hopeful arrival date before you start the rental search process. This one's a little bit shorter, but everything else should be around 6 to 12 months. Now, if we move forward a little bit, between 3 to 6 months from your anticipated arrival date, remember, everything works towards this anticipated arrival date. So from 3 to 6 months, you should start to plan your finances. Learn about banking in Italy. You won't be able to open a bank account until you are a resident here, but start learning about the process and the costs. Also about currency exchange. You're probably coming from another currency, so start paying attention to that. You can open up a foreign account, bank account, those online bank accounts, and you can start moving money from your currency into euros when it looks good. And if you follow the rates closely and move your money in increments, you can start to save a lot in exchange. If all of a sudden you have a really favorable exchange rate and you have some cash to move over, I highly recommend you do it. I also recommend that around this stage, 3 to 6 months, you speak with a commercialista, which is an Italian tax accountant. This is the best way to fully understand your tax liabilities and evaluate your budget. This will also help you understand where the best place is for you to be living in Italy, because depending on your situation, you may be able to and may be qualifying for one of the tax incentives for new arrivals in Italy. And the only person who can really help you understand what your tax situation will be is a commercialista, an Italian tax accountant. And around this time too, the 3 to 6 months, consider all of your upfront costs as well as living expenses. Numbers do not lie, my friends. So take your time during this phase so that you have a very clear picture of what your new life in Italy will cost to just get in and then also to maintain. Now we're down from 1 to 3 months from your anticipated arrival date. And this is typically when you start to apply for your visa. So make sure that you have collected all of your supporting documents to qualify you for whatever visa it is that you have chosen. You will also be able to make an appointment in advance for your visa appointment. Typically, they will let you make an appointment up to 3 months in advance. So this is when you could start doing that. You can make an appointment early and, you know, for in the future and then work on your visa during this time. Just so at least you're in the queue waiting for your appointment, that's when you can do the work. If your documents need to be translated and legalized, which is apostille, you have to factor that time into the equation as well. If you're doing certain kinds of visas, for example, the investor visa, your FBI criminal record check also needs to be apostille in a federal apostille, which can take up to 12 weeks. So all of these things need to be factored into your timing. Now, 1 month before arriving, it starts to get really exciting. So you've probably, by this time, you're looking at the logistics of moving. By this time, hopefully you've got your visa, you know it's 100%. And if that's the case, you might be selling or donating all of your things so that you're downsizing and getting ready for the new move. And I really highly recommend that you consider that because moving all of your stuff across to Italy can be complicated and kind of expensive. And it can be a little bit freeing to start from scratch in Italy. A lot of people prefer to do that. Of course, if you don't want to and you have all your stuff you want to ship over, that's perfectly fine as well. But it's around this time, about a month before you hope to leave, that you should start getting estimates from different moving companies just to be able to better evaluate how much it will really cost you. And then the next thing to plan after you've gone through all of that is the arrival and the settling in stage, which again, like I said, I'm going to cover in future episodes. But that is when you've actually landed in Italy and you start going through the bureaucracy of establishing yourself as a person living in Italy and getting healthcare and all of the things that you probably maybe makes you a little bit nervous and a little bit scared. And this is definitely another episode entirely, both arriving and settling in. But for now, if you've moved through the first three stages of learning, evaluating, and applying, you will be ready to move. And I urge you to pick the stage that you're in now and think about all of the criteria that I explained and then accurately put you in the right stage. Maybe you thought you were in the evaluating stage and you might need to drop back into the learning stage a little bit more to be able to answer those questions that you need to answer in order to evaluate your situation properly. Expect your move to take at least a year or more to complete. It takes a long time. And I know it can sound like ages, but trust me, you're going to be very busy and time is going to fly by because moving across the world and to a foreign country like Italy is a very big deal. And by putting the work in early and moving through these stages and these steps that I explained, and you do them in the right order, you will avoid being disappointed. Now, we have a little workbook on our website in the other free resources section. It's under smartmoveitaly.com/learn. So check them out there. And there's a little guide there that can help you work through all of these stages that I talked about. Now, thanks for joining me today as we've mapped out the steps to your big move to Italy. And remember that the key to a successful relocation is really through proper planning and understanding what to expect and the time it takes to get things done. Now, if you found this episode helpful, consider checking out our website for more resources, including that workbook I talked about, and some other advice on our blog to help you move forward. And if you know someone else who is dreaming of moving to Italy, go ahead and share this podcast with them. I hope it helps. Ciao for now. It's time for listener questions. Just like the old radio call-in shows, my team has picked three listener questions, all left on our voicemail. I have no idea what these questions are, but I haven't been stumped yet. Are you ready? Let's get started.
Hi, Samantha. My husband and I are Italian citizens registered in IRE because we live in the United States, but we have a home in Italy where we plan on spending about 4 to 5 months a year. How do we get health insurance? Thank you.
Well, hello, and thank you for the question. So you are Italian citizens, but you're not residents of Italy. Although you are registered in ERE, which is the database for Italian citizens living abroad. So if you're not living in Italy, this is where you register. And this is for, it's like a census in a way. but it has nothing to do with your health care in Italy or access to health care in Italy. Even if you are an Italian citizen, if you are not a resident, a taxable resident in Italy, you cannot apply for the healthcare system here in Italy. So you would be just like any other traveler when you come to Italy. Even if you spend 4 to 5 months a year, you will have to, or you should, take out travel insurance in order to cover you if anything happens here in Italy. The only time that you can have free healthcare as an Italian citizen or married to an Italian citizen is if you become a taxable resident of Italy. And to do that, that means you have to move your entire residency from the U.S. into Italy and make this your primary home. Once you do that, then yes, you have free healthcare.
Hi, Samantha. This is Debbie. My family and I are wanting to move to Florence and we'll have dual citizenship soon. The question is, my children are both teenagers, 15 and 18, and so it would be a matter of transitioning to high school and college in Florence. Could you please share any recommendations regarding helping them with this transition? Thank you.
Hi, Debbie. Very good question. And first of all, congratulations on your Italian citizenship. That's very exciting. And I know that it opens up so many opportunities, especially for your kids coming here to go to school. Which is, I know, probably top of mind thinking, how are they going to adjust and adapt? What my recommendation is, if they do not speak Italian and Italian well, then I recommend that they start in an international school here in Italy. And the reason is not, you know, not to shelter them, but to give them the opportunity to keep their studies up, but also slowly start to transition into the new culture here and the life and, of course, the language. Because going straight into high school without the language will be extremely stressful and difficult for them, not just in a social way, but also to keep up with their studies. So there's a few different schools in Florence, really good international schools, bilingual schools, so they'll learn both in the English and the Italian. And you can just Google for some schools there. There's about three different ones here in Florence that are really, really good. For the older teenager, if she's finished, is finished their schooling before they move here, there are some bilingual university courses here that they can look at. The University of Florence, take a look there and see what is available. If they are Italian and want to move their residency to another European country, they have the freedom to do that. That's one of the benefits of having that passport. And in some of the northern countries, education, university education is free for residents. So you might want to look even beyond Italy for the older one if they're wanting to do some further studies. I hope that helps.
Hi, Sam. This is Brandy. We had a thought. If we were to sell our house in the United States, then we could possibly have the capital for an investment visa. Can you explain a little bit more about these, how much is needed, and what the benefits associated with these visas are? Thank you.
Hello, Brandy. Well, the investor visa, as you may or may not know if you've been listening to me for a while, is my favorite visa. And really, the reason is because it allows the most freedom for the visa holder, meaning that if you make an investment, there's two kinds of investments, $250,000 into an Italian startup or $500,000 into Italian shares of an Italian company like Ferrari or Enel Energy, these kinds of companies. If you can make that investment, then you get a permesso di soggiorno, a visa to get a permit to stay that lasts for 2 years and then renewable for another 3 years, and then actually continues to be renewable as long as you maintain the investment. So this visa, which is different in Italy compared to other visas in other countries, in that it's tied to investing in business in Italy. If you sell your home, in fact, a lot of people use this investor visa because they don't qualify for, let's say, an elective residency visa with passive income, or maybe they still want to work, which they can do on the investor visa, or they don't want to actually live full-time in Italy, but they want the freedom to come and go as they choose and work whenever they want, the investor visa will cover that. And some people don't have that passive income, but they have a windfall of money, perhaps from selling a property like you suggested, or maybe they're self-employed but don't have a pension. So the visa can fit all those little gaps of people who were not otherwise eligible or didn't want to take the elective residency visa for the restrictions. Now, if you wanted some more information, there is a podcast episode on the investor visa. And if this seems to fit you in a little better way, please have a listen to it because I go into detail about why I think this is the best visa for Italy. Well, that's all for this week's episode. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions about visas, citizenship, property, and well, really anything about moving to Italy that you would like me to answer in an upcoming episode, please feel free to send us a voicemail at our website at smartmoveitaly.com/podcast, or just click on the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening. And remember, you can find all of the resources and the links to the people and the places that I mentioned in this episode inside the show notes. Ciao for now. A New Life in Italy podcast is a production of Sentire Media, created and hosted by me, Samantha Wilson. Production by London Nero, and with special thanks to Ali Frothingham, Sofia Pisana, and the entire team at Sentire. Follow A New Life in Italy wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you're thinking of moving to Italy, whether full-time, part-time, or for a lifetime, come and see me over at smartmoveitaly.com and we'll help you get here and start living your best life. And don't forget, if you love this episode, please rate and leave a review. It's much appreciated. I can't wait to meet up with you again next week, same time, same place. Ciao for now.
Sentire Media.
Hey, podcast producers and show hosts. Do you want to join a podcast network that celebrates all things Italian? At Sentire Media, we understand the allure of Italy and its unique culture. Our devoted team of hosts and producers are all driven by their shared passion for Italy. And we work tirelessly to create the best lifestyle podcasts and content that will whisk you away to the very heart of Italy. With us, you can savor the mouth-watering flavors, get lost in the stories from the past, break down the cultural barriers, and truly immerse yourself in the vibrant traditions of this intoxicating country. If you have a great podcast idea or are already in production and would like to join Sentire Media, head over to sentiremedia.com, that's S-E-N-T-I-R-E media.com, and find out how to submit your show.